Amen, amen. He is risen.
He is risen.
Amen. We're so glad to have each and every one of you here this morning. If you missed the sunrise service, you missed a wonderful, wonderful blessing. Rain held off. It got done before we had our service. The sun came out right at the very end of our service. We had a great breakfast. Thank you for those guys who helped to prepare all of that and those who helped to set up everything also. Thank you so much. We're looking forward to a wonderful service this morning. Our choir is fixing to sing. Our kids' choir is going to sing the last song with us, but there are going to be some opportunities throughout our Easter cantata that we want you to sing with us with some familiar hymns. The words will be on the screen as we do. I'll just turn around to lead you in some of those Easter hymns. So we encourage you to join with us this morning. We welcome you, especially if you're a guest this morning. We have some guest bags on the sides of the stage and at the doors. Be sure to please pick up one of those before you leave today. If you brought someone with you, make sure that they get one to take home with them. So let's just go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll give all of our service to Him, and then we'll begin with our Easter cantata. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the blessing of this day. Thank you that we have this wonderful privilege and opportunity to celebrate today, especially the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you will stir our hearts, that you will move us, Lord, to a closer relationship with you. And for those who may not know Christ as their Lord and Savior, we pray today would be the day of salvation for them. We ask, Heavenly Father, for your will to be done in our hearts and our lives this morning. We give all the songs that we're singing, what the preschool choir just sang, as well as our kids and the adult choir, we give it all to you, the message we give to you, and we just ask, Lord, that it will bring glory and honor to the name of Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we have this privilege because of His death, His resurrection from the grave, and that gives us eternal life, that gives us victory over death, hell, and the grave. May this be a day of celebration for those who are in Christ, and may it be a day of celebration for those who trust in Christ today. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen.
This is the story of a journey propelled by love. The love of a mighty God and the people he had created. It's the story of perfection that was destroyed, of mercy that was extended, and of God's faithfulness through it all. Despite humanity's rebellion and disobedience, God's plan to set things right kept unfolding. There were times the Almighty's voice thundered with judgment. Sometimes it was a song of comfort. For 400 years he was simply silent. Then one night in the town of Bethlehem, everything changed. As a boy, Jesus roamed the hills of Nazareth. At 12, he stood in the temple and spoke of tending to his father's business. At 30, he was baptized as John proclaimed him the Lamb of God. Then for 3 years, he traveled throughout the land, healing the sick, delivering the broken, loving the outcast, and even raising the dead. At last, the road turned again to Jerusalem. As he rode into the city, crowds greeted him the way they would greet a conquering king. Jesus knew what was waiting ahead as the journey that had taken thousands of years descended into deep shadows. Powerful religious and political forces aligned to destroy him. One who had posed as a faithful follower betrayed him for the price of a slave. But first the Lord would eat the Passover meal with his friends. He had one more opportunity to show them his love and prepare them for the coming day. In Gethsemane, Jesus prayed alone. The first drops of blood that he would shed on our behalf trickled down his brow as he surrendered to his Father's will. Soldiers arrived to arrest him, and the long night of trial and torture. Sentenced to death by crucifixion. He was stripped and scourged and mocked. And then he carried his own cross up the hill of Golgotha, where he opened his arms, submitted to the nails in his hands and feet, and laid down his life willingly in your place. Oh, On the hillside that day, the message Jesus had come to deliver was unmistakable. God loved us so much, he would do whatever it took to save us. Just when it looked like the story of Jesus would end in defeat, heaven revealed a new chapter called Victory. Sometime before the third day dawned, Within the tomb, his heart began to beat, his lungs filled with air. Jesus rose to life again, just as he said he would, and the sorrow of the cross turned into joy. From the moment Jesus conquered death, the praise that had always surrounded him in heaven suddenly became the song that his followers took up on earth. He alone was holy. He alone could save us. When we needed a lamb to atone for our sins, he alone could do it.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all made new? Yeah. is all creation groaning. Is a new creation coming? Is the glory of the Lord to be the light within our midst? Is it good that we remind ourselves of this? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he possessing in honor and glory? Is he worthy of this? He is. Does the Father truly love us? Does the Spirit move among us? And does Jesus our Messiah hold forever those he loves? Does our God intend to dwell again with us? Is anyone worthy? Is anyone whole? Is anyone able to break the seal and open the scroll? The Lion of Judah, who conquered the grave, he is David's root and the Lamb who died to ransom the slave. From every people and tribe, every nation and tongue, he has made us a kingdom and priests to God to reign with the Son. Is he worthy? Is he worthy of all blessing and honor and glory? Is he worthy? Is he worthy? Is he worthy of this? He is. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is. Is he worthy? Is he worthy? He is. He is.
Revelation 5 says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, and 10,000 times 10,000. They encircled the throne, and the living creatures, and the elders. In a loud voice they were saying, 'Worthy is the Lamb who was slain, to receive power, and wealth, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and praise.'"
our kids.
Make me to know your ways, O Lord, teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, for you I wait all the day long.
Psalm 25, 4 and 5.
Teach me, O Lord, the ways of your statutes, and I will keep it to the end.
Give me understanding that I may keep your law and observe it with my whole heart. Lead me in the path of your commandments, for I delight in it. Psalms 119, 33 through 35.
For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He alone is my rock and my salvation. My fortress, I shall not be greatly shaken. Psalm 62, 1 through 2.
Thank you.
And praise the Lord. Take your Bibles this morning and turn to the book of Romans, chapter 4, verse 16 down through verse 25. Romans chapter 4, verse 16 through 25, as I contemplated about what to preach on, this passage leans right into what we are celebrating today, the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. So would you stand as we read God's word in honor of his word? Romans chapter 4, verse 16 down through verse 25. That is why it depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all his offspring, not only to the adherent of the law, but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. As it is written, I have made you the father of many nations in the presence of the God in whom he believed, who gives life to the dead and calls into existence the things that do not exist. In hope, he believed against hope, that he should become the father of many nations. As has been told, so shall your offspring be. He did not weaken in faith when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. No unbelief made him waver concerning the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, and as he gave glory to God, fully convinced that God was able to do what he had promised. That is why his faith was counted to him as righteousness. But the words it was counted to him were not written for his sake alone, but for ours also. It will be counted to us who believe in him who raised from the dead Jesus our Lord, who was delivered up for our trespasses and raised for our justification. Let's pray. Father, bless your word this morning. Father, thank you for the blessing that you've given on the music already. And we just pray, God, that our hearts are prepared to hear you speak to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You can be seated. You know, as we come to Easter here, Resurrection Sunday, we're reminded of the most important event in all of human history, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. See, understand this, Easter is not just a holiday. It's not just a tradition. It's not just some date that we put on a calendar. Easter is proof that the cross worked, that sin was paid for, that death was defeated, and that salvation is available to everyone who believes. But Easter is also about faith, because the resurrection of Jesus Christ demands a response. It calls every one of us to trust God. It calls us to believe what he has done and to trust what he has promised to do. Abraham saw that in his own life. He trusted God. Even though God said, I want you to take that which I've given to you, your son, Isaac, and to offer him as a sacrifice. The Bible tells us over in the book of Hebrews that Abraham knew that God, if he was even to have to offer his son, to kill his son, to sacrifice his son, he knew that God was able to raise him from the dead to fulfill that promise. You see, one of the greatest ways we glorify God is through faith. Faith glorifies God because faith declares God is trustworthy. He alone is worthy. He is powerful. He is loving, and he is faithful always to his promises. So when we trust God, especially when life is uncertain and difficult, we make him look as good as he really is. The harder the situation, the more impossible it seems. The more God is glorified when we trust him. That's why the Bible teaches us that we are justified by faith, because faith glorifies God. You see, faith looks in two directions at the same time. It looks back to the cross and to the resurrection, and it looks forward to the promises of God, that one day, just like he fulfilled these promises back here on the cross and in the resurrection, one day he's coming again, and we need to make sure that we're ready for that day. You see, we stand today as a believer on what Christ has already done, and we trust God for what He will do in the future. You see, Easter reminds us that because Jesus rose from the dead, every promise of God is secure. That brings us to an important question that Paul is addressing here. How then are we made right with God? Who do we have to believe in order to be justified, to be made right with God? Romans chapter 4 here answers that question by showing us the kind of God we need to trust. We trust a God who performs the inconceivable power, who shows us merciful redemption and triumphant justice. I want you to see three things this morning. I want you to see that we trust one who performs inconceivable power. That's the truth that he's telling us here in Romans. That's the truth about the resurrection. Romans 4, verse 24 tells us that we believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. Romans tells us that Abraham in hope against hope believed. Because by all practical circumstances, by all the practical view from the world standpoint, he and his wife were way up in years. How in the world were they ever going to have a child? He hoped against hope that God had already made a promise that he would be the father of many descendants and they would be a blessing to the nations of this world. And yet, there they were, barren. And yet he trusted God. Somehow he hoped against hope and believed. That means that when everything around him said that the promise was impossible, he still trusted God. You see, sometimes in our lives, we find ourselves in similar situations where it feels like, it seems like, as if all hope has been lost, that the promise of God is impossible. But we're to be like Abraham, to keep trusting in God. You see, human hope was gone, but he still had hope in God. And that is really what this day of celebration is all about. Because on Friday, when Jesus was crucified on that cross, hope seemed lost. That's why those disciples went back to that upper room. That's why they went and fled. They were cowering and hiding because they thought it was all over. Jesus was dead. Jesus was buried, and the disciples thought it was over. But 3 days later, Sunday morning proved that even when it looks like hope is gone, God is still working. What a message for us this morning, that when you face the most dire of situations and circumstances, when you feel like all hope is gone, the promise that you can stand and rest on is that God is still working. You see, Easter, the resurrection, is the ultimate story of hope against hope. When everything looked impossible, God did the impossible and raised Jesus from the dead. You see, the resurrection is the greatest demonstration of the power of God that the world has ever seen. The resurrection proves that God has power over sin. He has power over death. He has power over the grave. He has power over every impossible situation in our lives. And the truth we can rest in is that the same God that Abraham trusted to bring life from a barren womb is the same God who raised Jesus from the grave. And if God can raise Jesus from the tomb after 3 days, then there is nothing in your life that's too hard for Him. There is no problem that is too big. There is no heart that is too hard. There is no sin that is too great. There is no situation that is beyond His power. You see, the resurrection reminds us that we serve a God of inconceivable power, and that's why we trust Him. We serve a God who gives life to the dead. Because without Christ, that's the way the Bible describes you. You are dead in your trespasses and sins. You know, a dead person can't do anything to save themselves. A dead person can't do any works. A dead person can't do anything but be dead. And that's where we are without Christ. Dead in our trespasses and sins. But when you trust in Jesus Christ, you then are partaking in the same power of the resurrection of Jesus from the dead physically. You're experiencing that spiritually, where once you were dead, now you're made alive in Christ Jesus. We serve a God who gives life to the dead and calls into existence things that don't even exist. You see, the world often says miracles are impossible. The world often says that resurrections can't happen. But the very foundation of our faith is belief in a God who does the impossible. The faith that justifies us is faith in a God of the supernatural, of an inconceivable power who can do what no one else can do. And so we trust him. Secondly, we trust one who performs merciful redemption. Because notice here in Romans 4 and verse 25, it says that Jesus was delivered over because of our transgressions. That means that the death of Jesus was not an accident. It was all part of God's plan. Jesus didn't just die. He died for our sins. Think about it. Every nail in his hands, every stripe on his back, every drop of blood that he shed was because of our sin. But the beautiful truth of Easter, of the resurrection, is this, is that the cross was not the end of the story. Jesus on the cross paid for our sin, but the resurrection proves the payment was accepted. Jesus took our place. He paid your penalty. He died the death that you and I deserve so that we could receive the life that we do not deserve. That is redemption. That is mercy. That is grace. You see, Easter is the story of a merciful God who loved us enough to send his only begotten Son to die for us so that we could be forgiven and saved. But here's the last point I want to share with you this morning, is that we trust this morning in one who performs triumphant justice. You see, the Bible says that Jesus was raised because of our justification. That means that Jesus died for our sins. He paid for them completely and perfectly. There was not anything else that was left unpaid. The resurrection was God's declaration that the payment was accepted and that justification had been secured. Because think about it, if Jesus Christ had remained in the grave, it would have meant that what he did on the cross was not enough. But when God raised him from the dead, it proved that all of it had been true, that all of the justice had been satisfied, sin had been paid for, and salvation had been accomplished. You see, the resurrection is triumphant because it conquers death, and it's triumphant justice because it proves that Jesus Christ's sacrifice was perfectly sufficient to justify sinners like you and me. So the God that we trust is a God who performs triumphant justice. So here's the thing I want to close with this morning. Easter asks every one of us a question. Do you believe? Not just here, but in here. Have you been transformed in your heart and your life? Do you trust the God who raised Jesus from the dead? Do you trust the God who sent his Son to die for your sins? Do you trust the God who proved through the resurrection that salvation is finished, that it's available to you? Because the Bible says that if we believe in the God who raised Jesus from the dead, our faith will be credited to us as righteousness. That means that we're forgiven, justified, as if we'd never sinned, accepted, and secure forever. So this day, This day means hope when hope seems gone. This day means life when death seemed final. This day means forgiveness when sin seems too great. This day, Easter, means that salvation, it means salvation when we could not save ourselves. It is the story of hope against hope. Not our hope, not a hope in us, but a hope that is found in Jesus Christ. So let me say to you this morning, you've heard it through the message and song. You've heard it through the Word of God. Trust in Jesus. Lean upon Him. Rest in Him. Believe in the Lord Jesus, the one who died for your sins, the one who rose again, and you will be saved. There's no better day than today to do that. This is what we're celebrating. This is what we've sang about. I pray you've heard the message and that you would come by faith to Jesus as Lord and Savior. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for the cross. We thank you for the empty tomb. We thank you that on the cross, Jesus paid our sin debt in full. And Lord, through the resurrection, you proved that the payment was accepted, that death was defeated, that salvation was secured forever. Heavenly Father, we thank you that when hope seems gone, I pray, Lord, that you would remind us that you're still working. Lord, thank you that this day, Easter Sunday, reminds us that you are the God of hope against hope, the God who does the impossible, the God who keeps every promise, and the God who brings life out of death. I pray today, Lord, for every person who's here, for those who may be discouraged, Lord, I pray that you would remind them that the tomb is empty and that you're still in control. Lord, for those who may be here or may be watching online and they're carrying burdens, Lord, remind them that the same power that raised Jesus from the dead is at work in their lives. And Lord, for those who may be here, who may be fearful about the future, Lord, I pray that you would remind them that our hope is not in our circumstances, but that it's in a risen Savior. And Heavenly Father, if there is anyone who is here who has never trusted Christ as their Savior, I pray today would be the day they place their faith in Him. Help them, Lord, to believe that He died for their sins and rose again so that they could be forgiven, justified, and have eternal life. Lord, teach us this morning to trust you more. Teach us, Lord, to walk by faith. Teach us, Lord, to live in the hope of the resurrection, not just on this day, but every day of our lives. We love you, Lord. We thank you, Lord. And we praise you for our risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Maybe the Lord has spoken to your heart. We want to invite you during this invitation, as we stand, as we sing, to make your way and come to publicly profess your faith in Jesus Christ. Maybe to come and join this fellowship of believers. Would you stand? Would you sing? And would you come? Brother Mike. seated, Ryan, if you'll come on with me. This is Ryan Arnold. I've been able to talk with him over the last few weeks, getting ready for a wedding that's coming up soon. And he already knows Christ as his Lord and Savior, but wanted to come and publicly profess that. He has never been baptized and wanted to be baptized. If you're excited for his decision this morning, would you just say amen?
Amen.
Amen. We're so excited for you, Ryan. You can have a seat back there. We'll ask you to come back up at a moment. You come by and give him the right hand of fellowship. Let him know how excited you are for his decision, and we'll be scheduling his baptism at a later date. So, Brother Jonathan, if you'll come and share our announcements.
Brother Matt has an announcement. Real quick, fundraiser cruising is coming up in less than a month, and so if you can help us out, we have some flyers on the end of the stage. Take one of those home with you and hand one out, as well as if you are on the cruising team, we're going to be meeting next Sunday after church briefly to kind of talk about some details. But if you can help us out with taking a flyer home and inviting someone, thank you.
Miss Brittany.
Good morning. Okay, a few things. First, this coming Saturday at 10 a.m. is the women's painting event. We're very excited. If you are planning to pay through Venmo, please do that sooner rather than later so that Abigail can get everybody paid on Saturday. If you are not paying through Venmo, if you're planning to pay cash, please bring that cash with you on Saturday. And if you haven't told Abigail what you're painting, please do that today or tomorrow. We need to know sooner rather than later. On April 19th, two things. One, we're starting a new young women's Sunday school class. We will be looking through a book by Lisa Whittle called Body and Soul. So if that sounds like something you would be interested in, please let me or Matt know so that we can order the books. Also on April 19th, we will be doing a VBS teacher training with Gary Irvin. He is from Grace Baptist. That will be at 3:00 in the fellowship hall. Please make your efforts to be there. It will be a good time of learning for us. And then we have a few logistical things from VBS to talk about that day also. And last but not least, if you are ordering decorations for VBS through the church, please let Matt or I know what you need ordered. Item numbers, screenshots, things like that, so that we know what to order, especially if you're going to order through Lifeway. Lifeway sells out rather quickly, so please let us know ASAP. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else? Okay. Don't forget, on Sunday, next Sunday, April 11th, the Women's Night of Worship. It starts at 5 p.m., and then the Endless Highway will be here, concert next Sunday, for the morning service, and then the Mark Turnbull Quartet will be here April 26th at the 6 p.m. service. And we are also hiring, looking for a morning teacher for the CDC for the 3 to 5 year olds. As far as prayer announcements go, please remember Tommy Griffin and his family, and then Amy Jackson is in the hospital, so please be praying for her. Any other announcements? Okay, let's go a little prayer. Thank you, Lord, for this day and this time for us to come and celebrate you, Lord, that we know you're risen. You're our Savior. And, Lord, we thank you for being our Savior. And please forgive us where we've had you and goes with us through this day and through this week. And help us be faithful for you. In the Lord Jesus' name we pray. Amen.